Welcome, Ned Coletti, to the show. Ned, thanks for being here.
Always a pleasure, guys.
You know, we've seen this with Kenley Jansen in the past. High altitude has affected his heart. Now, you were in the chair. You had Kenley. What can you tell us?
Well, it did happen a few years ago. I'm pretty sure it happened in Colorado as
yes.
well. And he did miss some time. It was late in the season, as I recall. I don't remember all the detail to it. But, you know, he was obviously, it was when he was first getting established as a closer, in fact. And so, you know, he's obviously pitched for a few years here at a very, very high level and with tremendous success. So hopefully they can fix whatever the issue is. Because certainly when you have something like this, you know, we think about the team, obviously, but we first and foremost always think about the man, the family man, the father, the husband, the son, you know, so. Kind of a nerve-wracking type of situation here.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. You don't mess with somebody when their heart's not beating properly. And you know, it's more important to sit and get it figured out than try to force them out there.
No doubt. And the Dodgers have great medical people, and getting him back to L.A. apparently is where he's at today. Great move there, too. And get him comfortable and get to the bottom of it. You know, he's a guy that we've known a long time now. And we've seen him grow up. We've seen him mature. We've seen him get married. We've seen him start a family. Those, to me, are as soon as I heard this news, that was where my focus went immediately, was his well-being, his wife's well-being, and the children and his family.
Ned, just put your GM hat on for a minute. This problem presents itself, and you got to go out and do something just to safeguard yourself. In case he's not ready for later on in the season when you need him, and you know, in the big spots, what do you do? Do the Dodgers try to find another closer somewhere somehow?
Well, this is the challenge of doing something this time of year, because once you get past that trading deadline, it is far more difficult to do. And in this particular case, I think they do have internal options. I think when we looked at Maeda pitch last year in October, he was so good, and he's been terrific this year. He's got the intestinal fortitude as well as the stuff to pitch the last inning plus of a game. I think means taking him out of the rotation, but internally, I think they're going to have some options. They used Scott Alexander last night. This team is built with its depth. We talk about it pretty much every conversation we have, how much depth they have. And they're also a team that has gone through all sorts of different injury adversities. Talk about Clayton being gone periods of time the last couple of years, and a lot of their rotation on the DL, JT being out this year, Corey being out almost the entire year. So adversity is the great challenge, and this team is a team that does seem to pick it up when adverse situations do happen, and they got to figure a different plan out. They're usually very good at doing it, and they also have enough people that are game for pretty much any situation. So I think, first and foremost, I think you look internally to see if you've got the people inside the organization right here, right now, that can do it. I happen to think Maeda is somebody that can certainly do it if they think they have enough starting pitching to put him at that point in the game, because he was terrific last year pitching the seventh and eighth inning, and his stuff this year is as good, if not better, than it was a year ago.
Hey, the A's beat the Dodgers to him, but Fernando Rodney could have been that guy. They just traded for him from the Twins. Are there any other Fernando Rodneys out there? You know, and he has 25 saves. Somebody who's been a big time closer. I don't just off the top of my head, other than Fernando Rodney, I don't know who else is out there.
Yeah, but I'll say this too, Ned. Before you even get into that, Fernando Rodney's like a gas can.
Stop.
Sure, he might pick up some saves, but you know, his ERA is like 90. So
I think it's best this time of year, unless you really don't think that you have the people internally, and I believe they do. I think you really look inside. This is a very close-knit group, and think about it. Anybody that has got a closer that is not competing right now as a team has probably moved that player if he's got great value. They probably moved him at the deadline. Unless he signed, he got a chance to be there for many years, which then the price is going to be kind of prohibitive. At the same time, if you're a contending team, you're not trading any relief pitching at this time, most likely. Again, you got to get him through waivers. People who get through waivers this time of year, The contracts are either inflated or the production has deflated. It's one or the other. And it's rare that you'll be able to find real quality at this stage, especially when you're talking about somebody that is playing a position that is one of the foremost positions on any championship club. I think you start internally and then you look outside, but outside may not be as good as inside.
During the waiver process, we're with Ned Coletti on AM 570 LA Sports, Fred Rogan and Rob Parker. During the waiver process, if somebody makes a claim and the club pulls them back, can only one team make one claim and then that's it? Or can multiple teams make claims?
29 teams can make claims. It's going to go in the inverse order of your winning percentage. But once a player has been to, you know, when you said, you know, is claimed and then is pulled back, once a player is pulled back, he cannot go back on waivers for 30 more days. So if you had a player pulled back August 5th, he cannot go back on waivers till September 4th. And then you got another couple days of the waiver period. And then if the team that does claim him and the team that is going to be based on the lowest winning percentage team has the first right to the claim, that team then gets him. There's no pulling back the second time around. So it's rare that a player goes through it twice. Then for sure it's a situation that you're probably going to get somebody that is overpaid or underperforming. Rare that you could do it. But see, that doesn't happen. The way it's set up, because you got your August 31st roster too. That's the roster that qualifies for your postseason. You got to be inside the organization by 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern on the 31st day of August in order to be eligible for a postseason roster. So if a player's been claimed already, close has been claimed, he cannot go back out there for 30 days from the day of the claiming. So you're in September, you're past that one date. And that does also change the dynamic a lot by then.
The Dodgers moving forward, do you still look at, if you're a Dodger fan, Ned, the news of Jansen is bad enough, but then also Kershaw isn't Kershaw. So your two things that you could always rely on the last few years, now a little bit in question. Is that overstating the affairs of having your closer and your ace not pitching to what we've known him to be?
Well, that's a great question, and I think it's a very poignant question if you're an organization that really kind of is built, your pitching staff is built on the pillars on the end, the ace, starter, and the closer. This team and this bullpen is not built on those two pillars alone. They have many other tremendous players and pitchers in that organization, in that rotation, in that pen that are capable. That's how this team has been constructed. The depth of it, it allows them to have more fallback positions and more next man up type mentalities than most teams. This happens to any other team in the league, they're pretty much done, especially in a race where it's a half game at this stage. But this organization has got so many different options and so many different people. Again, it's not easy missing Kenley Jansen. Don't get me wrong. Not easy missing Clayton Kershaw. We're talking about two of the best at what they do in the entire game. But there are still reliable pitchers in the midst of that group that can take it. We've seen it with Clayton. The team actually has had a decent record without him. You never want him missing a start. The team has played well despite missing Clayton Kershaw or not having Clayton Kershaw at what you were accustomed to seeing a couple years back where every performance was dominant. So there is enough there. There is enough there. It depends on what Dave Roberts wants to do, what the front office wants to do, what Rick Honeycutt, Mark Pryor think is best. They know the quality of the individuals and also the talent better than anybody, but we're watching a lot of it. We've all watched a lot of it. I do believe that they do have the pieces inside to be able to sustain it for as long as they'll need to sustain it.
And Ned, on a lighter note to end this, did you see the little league kid who gave up the monster home run over the center field fence? And this is the part that I wasn't expecting. The pitcher himself gave the kid like a high five as he ran around the bases, like he was waiting for him almost at home. It was in between third and home. Do you frown on that, or is that all right?
I didn't see that, but it is Little League, too.
Yeah, it's little. He's a 12-year-old kid. But the kid hit such a shot, Ned. You know what I mean? Where even the pitcher was like, man, that was unbelievable.
I'm not sure I would have seen Mariano Rivera high-five a Luis Gonzalez at the end of the 0-2 World Series. I don't think that would have happened. But you know what? Sportsmanship is a good thing, especially at that age.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Well, Ned, thanks for jumping on. We really appreciate it today, and have a great weekend.
All right, gentlemen. Talk to you soon.